Hello, friends, and welcome finally to your long-awaited Thursday edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, where we're going to build up to a pretty big game at Portman Road this weekend. Only the minnows of Manchester United coming to Suffolk for the Sky Sports featured game Sunday afternoon. What a time to be alive. And first of all, friends, of course, I have to say well done for making it through another dull, boring, pointless international break. But friends, that's it now. Until March. We've got all of Christmas to look forward to. We've got the whole of the January transfer window, which I'm very excited about. And only then do we have to worry about another international break in the middle of March. Times are good. It's a great time to be alive, and it's a great time to be hosting this podcast with my two best young friends, AJ and Roscoe. It's been a little while since we've seen you, AJ. You were, how should we term it? You're having your old boiler seen to last week, which meant you couldn't be on. You couldn't be on in the latest of a line of DIY-based euphemisms. For reasons that we can't be on pods. How are you, my young friend? I say young, but you're another year older now, 24, getting on a bit now. Knees are starting to creak.
Yeah, absolutely are. Yeah, wasn't having my kitchen drills or anything like that, getting drilled in my kitchen or any other plumbing-based kitchen jokes there. It was my boiler this time. The boiler is largely kind of working now around the house. Radio's not coming on in my room, and that's why. It's really, really cold, isn't it? It's like -1, and I've had to put the layers on. I've had to wrap up warm, and the best way, guys, to wrap up warm is to go get yourself a KOA hoodie.
Oh, yes.
And I'm wearing I'm not the only one on today wearing said KOA hoodie. We're even showcasing the different colours for you, but let me just say, as someone who's sat here wearing this right now, I feel toasty warm, and it's exactly what you need for these sub-zero winter days.
Excellent. Be the brand, wear the brand, promote the brand, push the brand. Excellent work, AJ. Rossi, we spoke last week, so it's not been that long since people heard your golden tones, but how are you, old friend?
I'm okay. Still got this tickly cough, though, which just won't bugger off. So, if you're watching on video, you can see me coughing a little bit, and I do mute myself, so because it doesn't sound nice, doesn't it, when you cough, someone really coughs. It doesn't sound nice for audio listeners. But no, very good. Looking forward to Sunday. Big game. Yeah, bring it on.
Good audio etiquette there, Rossi. And that's because you, my friend, are a professional. Right, before we get to the football, obviously we're going to talk about a lot of that today, building up to Man United. I just thought we'd have a little catch-up, friends, because we had a week off the footy. So I wondered what we've been up to. Now, AJ, you have just celebrated your 24th birthday. You had a double celebration, though, because you went for a night on the old London town, did you not? Because it was a landmark anniversary with your good lady girlfriend. I would say lady wife, not yet.
Not yet. Don't push too fast there, Mark.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yes, it was rather 2 years. So that was quite nice. Went over to London, stayed in Canary Wharf, was sending you lots of snazzy photos from the view.
You had a lovely view, yeah. Room.
Yeah, it was really nice that. The thing was, is that obviously with the system that we have here, all your hotels get booked for you. In my previous job, I didn't have that. I had to book my hotels and then claim back, which means I had about 50 quid worth of nice points saved up on my hotels.com account, which got used very quickly here, which meant got quite a nice little hotel, went for a swim. That was good. Had a sauna there as well. And then just potted around London for a bit. Nice meal out. Went to Covent Garden on the Sunday. I haven't been to Covent Garden in like 15 years. Sophie, my girlfriend, had been recently, but said it was that bad because they went so near to Christmas that it's kind of like almost like tarnished memories of it. So getting to go back when it wasn't rammed was quite nice. And just overall, good weekend. Enjoyed it. And weird to have both a Saturday and a Sunday where I'm not sat in a press box.
And obviously, while you were doing all that with your girlfriend, you were keeping an eye on all the international games, which we'll come on to in due course. Rossi, what did you get up to on your free weekend? I know I say free weekend, you were still covering a football game on Sunday. But what else did you get up to? Has everyone recovered now? Because Sasha's not been very well.
Yeah, sort of. As I said, it's a coughing household at the moment. Oh, just me and Sasha, basically. I actually did cover more football on Saturday morning.
Of course, you're in the under-18s, didn't you?
Under-18s game of four, I'll go down there and get some snappy snaps of the team. During the day or after that, when I've done all that, big shout out to Patty Max once again down at Beach Street in Felixstowe. Got myself a massive juicy burger and chips and then went to, there's a new place at Beach Street called London Calling. yeah. which is like a, you know, London sort of based food, you know, jelly eels, which I didn't touch. Just loads of different food from, you know, London. And
I also, pie and mash, all that.
Yeah, pie and mash. That's what I was trying to think of. I just couldn't think of. What is the thing that London people eat? Well, British people, anyway, we love pie and mash. But yeah, but we had a nice little apple crumble there. They served apple lovely. Crumble. So that was very nice in the lovely cold weather in Felixstowe. But yeah, shout out to Pat and Max once again, because they make some beautiful burgers. But yeah, then covered the women's team on Sunday and then had a roast, which is very nice indeed. Oh,
Sunday's done right. I need to get myself to Beach Street. I've heard a lot of good things about it. I've not been yet, which is someone who calls myself a bit of a foodie is a bit of a disgrace. Friends, I went to Gladiator 2 on Saturday in Bury. And it was decent. It was decent. It was certainly wasn't as good as the first film. Which I guess you probably wouldn't expect, because the first film is an iconic sort of top five film for me anyway, probably a lot of people. But yeah, it was good. Denzel Washington, very charismatic, very good in it. It would have been really bad if he wasn't in it. The first half is basically like a remake, if you like, of the first film. It's essentially the same story. And then I think they were like, well, it's basically the same film. We need to shake things up a bit. So then it progresses onwards. But it's definitely worth going to see. I'd say definitely go and watch it on the big screen if you can, because there's... Obviously, things have moved on since the first film, and the battle scenes are so epic on a big screen, and, you know, kind of audio, all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely worth seeing. Don't go expecting it to be as good as the first one, though, because it's not. The lead guy, Paul Mescal, just doesn't have the kind of charisma or presence of Russell Crowe. It's still very watchable, so I'd go and see that. And yesterday, friends, had my COVID and flu shot, didn't I? I don't know why I keep getting invited for this, because as I've just... Alex giggled when I told him. And kind of made this a kind of point that I must be approaching 65. I'm not, friends. I'm very much not 65 yet. But for some reason, they keep inviting me. And the only reason I can think of is I must be on some sort of government national treasure list. Must be protected at all costs. I'd say I'm probably just below Attenborough, maybe sort of level with someone like David Jason Rossi, you know, Del Boy, probably me and him, same sort of level. National treasureness. You're not convinced. Okay, fair enough. Anyway, that's what we've been up to. Stewie's not around, so we can't ask him. He's on a day off today, but he has done an excellent exclusive interview with Calvin Phillips, which went out yesterday and today, parts one and part two. Really interesting stuff. If you've not read it yet, go and read it. I think the most interesting thing I found was the stuff this morning talking about how Leif Davis was such an integral part of bringing Calvin to town. Apparently, they've got a really good friendship, those two. So go and read that. Let's talk about football, though, shall we? Now we've all caught up. And let's start, I guess we have to start, unfortunately, with the international break. AJ's very excited. Now, we're not going to talk at length about each bloody player and what they did, AJ. I just want your kind of takeaway items of interest. There is probably one bigger item of interest in terms of the health of one of Town's players, which you lent on some contacts to get questions asked on Monday, wasn't it? So we may as well start there, shall we, with Amari?
Yeah, the first thing I want to say with this, I was following this from start to finish. Six games in, there were two goals scored. So I'm a bit, I don't want to go to saying as a big, big international break fan, but it keeps me going, keeps the thrill of the football going. Oh, I was struggling to get through this. Six games, two goals, lots of nil-nil draws. We'll start off with Amari then. So he wasn't in any of the match day squads, was called up for the England under 21 squads, having destroyed Azerbaijan off the bench last month, and then just didn't show up. So yes, as Mark said, had to go through some contacts to get some questions asked at the game on Monday, where they drew 1-1 against the Netherlands in Almere, I think that is. Turns out that he ended up travelling over with the under 21 squad. Wanted to play. He carried a bit of a knock that he'd picked up in the Tottenham game, which isn't a huge surprise considering that was pretty rough, let's say. And then they decided it was just best for him to go back to Ipswich after that. So looks quite minor. We'll have to wait and see what Kieran McKenna says on it. But as things stand, I don't think there's going to be that much to worry about. Just a precaution, a bit like when he got sent back in September when he had that hamstring injury. So that's hopefully okay. Not that many big stories to come out of this international break. Aside from that, the interesting one may be Kosovo. Didn't really know how to cover this one at the time because they were drawing 0-0 with Romania until stoppage time with Aro Muric. And then that game got abandoned due to racist chanting, anti-Kosovo chants coming from the home fans. All got a bit nasty. Kosovo walked back into the dressing room and the game was abandoned. And that's since been given as a 3-0 win to Romania, which is, fair enough. I suppose Other than that, yeah, Cameron Burgess has played some minutes. They've had a couple of crazy games. He got lobbed almost from the halfway line yesterday in their game there. England played Ireland again. That was all right, wasn't it? I mean, they got absolutely battered 5-0 on the Sunday. And Smodics didn't really get that much of a touch of the ball. Del Roche's been playing, starting, played. I think he might play the full 90 in that one, despite obviously the back injury there as well. Last thing to mention, Kieran Slicker didn't get on the pitch, unfortunately, yet to get his Scotland cap. But it's Ross Shrugs still for a third choice goalkeeper to get into the first team squad for Scotland. I think it's quite nice. He must have enjoyed that because Scotland had a pretty dramatic turnaround to end up not getting relegated from the Nations League. So, yeah, good times for him and for them.
Excellent. Thrilling times over the international break. Thanks for covering it all. I know you do. You do genuinely enjoy it, which is good. It's good that there's one member of the team that takes an interest, which is tremendous. Should we talk about club football, Rossi? And the ladies played on Sunday. You were there, obviously, we've already discussed. And another good win for them. So they are looking really good this season.
Yeah, very good, and especially coming from behind twice. Oxford took a lead. Zoe Barrett, who former Town women's player, come and scoring the opening goal for Oxford. Then we equalised. Then Oxford, they made it 2-1. And you just think, oh, it could be one of those days. But thankfully not. We equalised again. And then Miria Boswell, the captain, made it 3-2 late on. And then nice little consolation. Lucy O'Brien makes it 4-2. And a good performance overall. And they're now top of the table. With two games in hand over Hashtag, who are second. We're joint points with them, but we've got a better goal difference because we smashed MK Dons the other week. But yeah, they're having a very good season. Players really stepping up. So Peskett, Natasha Thomas. You can name the whole squad because they're playing really well. And yeah, great crowd down there. 970 Suffolk, I think it was, down there. So yeah, really good support. And obviously, I'm sure you're going to mention it in a minute, some breaking news about a big game next year for them.
Well, let's run on to that then. So they had 970 at Felixstowe, but come next March, they're going to have thousands back in Portman Road. Mark Ashton announcing at the Fans Forum on Monday night, which we'll come on to a bit more in a minute because AJ was covering that as well, that the Traxa girls are going to come back to Portman Road, Rossi, and against Plymouth. Is it Plymouth?
Yes.
Yes. Plymouth. On March 23rd, Sunday. And obviously they played there earlier this year. Yes. But there wasn't much on that game against an opponent that probably wasn't up to their standard. But this one, hopefully, will have stuff riding on it and they're going to be right in the hunt for getting promoted, Ross. So this one could be absolutely tremendous.
Yeah, I think it was 10,000, over 10,000 for the game, you know, in March this year against Chatham Town, who were pretty much relegated. It was I wouldn't say a pointless game, because obviously it was a historic game in terms of a league fixture at Portman Road for the women's team. But now this one, even though we beat Plymouth 5-1 early in the season, it's still going to be a competitive fixture in terms of, yeah, as you mentioned, a lot could be riding on it. In terms of, there'll probably only be maybe three or four games after that game. So yeah, it's going to be another great occasion. Last time it was actually on a Saturday, but this time it's on a Sunday, the 23rd of March. So yeah, I'm sure the club will release details for tickets. But if you never had a chance to watch a women's team game, head down to Portman Road, but go down the Felixstowe as well, because it's even though it's freezing bloody cold this time of year, it's still a good day as a whole, you know, supporting the team and watching some really good football, especially when there's loads of goals being scored. So yeah, support the girls and yeah, good times.
Yeah, brilliant news that. I wonder how big a crowd they can get. As you say, 10,000 last time. It'd be nice to see sort of 15,000 or something this time, wouldn't it? With a kind of more important game, I guess. AJ, you were covering the Fans Forum. That was one of the things that came out from it. What else did you find interesting or indeed not from the Fans Forum on Monday night?
I loved that when the phone went off right at the start, Kieran McKenna joked he'd have to do his Roy Keane impression. That was brilliant. that really did set the tone quite nicely. Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I think these are more about kind of the day-to-day running operations of kind of matches at Portman Road, that kind of stuff. Interesting bit, if Town were to get relegated, they have to be, the players and everyone has to know what their wages would be, not only in the Championship, but in League One, which is quite a unique bit. So they have to be aware of how that would go down to be in line with the financial regulations. That was a bit of an interesting point. I know that Kieran McKenna is going to be given money to spend in January, and it's not about the money is a big thing that Mark Ashton's been saying. It's just about the FFP regulations that will limit what they can go and do. But yeah, the accessibility, things like light shows maybe to come at some point, which I think Ross would hate. Oh, I can see him. He
Ross loves a light show, doesn't he? He's all about light show.
Yeah, negotiations with the new sponsors. Interesting, Ed Sheeran kind of came on board because he didn't want to have a betting sponsor, so it's not going to be a betting sponsor, and that means that Town might not get as much money, but it's important to them, which I quite liked. Some VAR chat, some Manchester United chat. The PA system, can't do any more with that, really, unfortunately. I think it's really too loud. I don't know about you guys. I think it's quite loud, but there's seemingly quite a few people who think it's too quiet, so you can't balance everything out. Yeah, different things like that. Fabio Wardley's hopefully going to be coming to Portman Road soon, which will be good. And Ed Sheeran, there's kind of a feeling that both of those will happen quite soon, not like at the same time against each other or something like that. But hopefully they'll both be performing in their different avenues there. Season ticket waiting list to come. Only, I think, was said 5 people didn't renew after Town got promoted into the Premier League. So, yeah. Other than that, it's more kind of day-to-day operational bits. A lot of kind of questions we'd ask Kieran McKenna in press conferences, like how does the international break affect things, stuff like that. A lot about 5-year plans. So, yeah, overall, I think it's helped to provide information, context and support for people who want things differently at Portman Road. Good to have had it done.
Mm. PA always comes up, doesn't it, Rossi? For years, we've been having people moaning about the PA. It's either too loud or too quiet. Always seems to be an issue, even though now it's like supercharged. Still getting questions about it. Ross, shall we move on? Shall we start talking about the biggest game of the season? I think it's fair to say one of the biggest games I'll play this whole year. Man United, still probably the world's most famous football club, coming to Town this weekend. I had a little look back, Ross, by way of how far we've come, how quickly. The same weekend 2 years ago, Town were playing Buxton in the FA Cup, which I think was actually on TV, but certainly not the same level of interest, obviously, that the non-league minnows of Buxton to now the Premier League minnows of Man United. So how are we feeling about this one, Rossi? They got the first win last time out. That was unexpected. That was brilliant. And it's given a whole boost to everyone going into this one. So before we start breaking down this game, how are you actually feeling about it? You're going to be there, mate, on Sunday, taking your snappy snaps when Manchester United come to Suffolk. How excited are you about this one?
Yeah, very excited. And as I think AJ mentioned, or maybe you mentioned it, you probably did because you're the host, my friend. Of course you are. it's going to be the main Sky Sports feature on Sunday. You know, Roy Keane and that lot will be there, you know, to up in the TV studio.
Yeah, that'll be the first time they'll use it, I guess.
Yeah.
Pretty
much. So, yeah, it's going to be, the game is going to be buzzing. I think, obviously, it's been talked about for last week during the international break because we knew this was the next game after the last one. And especially after the win against Spurs, I'm feeling confident, you know, boys. I'm actually thinking we could get something. We could get something out of this.
Yeah.
New manager for Man United, Town the Buzz. Jacob Gray's coming back as well. I know, although, you know, the defence have been doing pretty well since then. I'm looking forward to it. You know, Manchester United, you know, a team that I've sort of grown up seeing win loads of trophies, obviously not last decade, but when I was a kid, all my mates, you know, schoolmates just bought Man United. But now there's a lot of people obviously now supporting Ipswich because we're doing well. Taking pictures of Man United will be, you know, another sort of tick on the list in terms of, you know, my archive, my portfolio. So yeah, really looking forward to it. Portman Road is going to be buzzing. The town is going to be buzzing. You know, think that the eyes of the world will be on Suffolk.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Bring on.
And that's not an exaggeration. Obviously, me particularly all about hyperbole, but that's not an exaggeration to say the eyes of the footballing world will be on Suffolk on Sunday afternoon. And there's so much narrative in this game, AJ, that were it a film, it would be voiced by James Earl Jones. You've got the first game for Amarin. You've got McKenna's links to Man United. You've got the whole backstory about plucky underdogs at Ipswich Town getting their first win last time. What can they do against the Man United side who are basically been a car crash for quite a long time. Really, really intriguing there. As a football game, as a standalone football game, it doesn't get much better than this in terms of interest and intrigue.
No, it doesn't. And it was actually one of the things that Kieran McKenna said over the weekend. He's usually someone to play these things down. And he said this is going to be the biggest game in world football over the weekend. And it's hard to argue with that because it is dripping with narrative. It's him against his former club, a club he was linked to over the summer. It's a game that a lot of fans, a lot of Town fans will remember from the last time that they were in the Premier League and the games that we'll have then. And it will be the new manager at Manchester United, a job that Kieran McKenna in another universe could have had. There's a lot of different bits coming into this. Obviously, the Man United job is the interesting topic of conversation world football and has been since Alex Ferguson left, where they've had five different full-time managers step up to try and do this job. David Moyes, Louis van Gaal, Mourinho, Solskjaer, Ten Hag, then with the various interim managers coming in there as well. Yes, they've won things, but they've never returned to what they have been. And it is now on a 39-year-old from Portugal to try and do that. And the intrigue around that, around someone who has been so highly rated for a long time but is yet to prove themselves at the top, top tier, in the top, top level like the Premier League is. So many different aspects and narratives and talking points around this. Hopefully it sets up for a good game, but you don't get the feeling it's going to be a drab, boring one.
No, it's not going to be dull. Whatever happens, it's not going to be dull. Shall we start, first of all, AJ, with Man United? Because, you know, clearly there's a whole conversation around them before we even get to Town and who might play and the storylines there. So clearly the main storyline for Man United going to this game is they've got a new boss. The latest one to try and right this ship that's been sinking ever since Fergie left. And I'm going to ask you a question now. I don't probably think you know the answer to, but I'm going to ask you it anyway. What can we expect, do you think, from Ruben Amorim in his first game? Because we've seen, obviously, be really successful with Sporting. He'd just beaten Man City, absolutely thrashed Man City with Sporting. But clearly, there's nothing to go on in terms of this Man United side and how he might set them up and how he might play. So can you say that there's anything specific you are expecting from Amorim?
Well, he was asked this when he was appointed and then when the announcement was made, which I think was just before the Leicester game. So I remember rushing into Playford Road to sort that one out. So just before the Leicester game for Ipswich, which is when Van Nistelrooy then came over, took interim charge, and he's gone now. He's got binned off. Fair enough. Sorry, Roy. Roy? Rude. There you go. But yeah, in terms of what to kind of expect from them, he's hinted it's going to be a back five or a back three, however you want to see it. I'd say it's more of a three because it is attacking. He often kind of tries to translate his wingers into wing backs, and that's where there's been a lot of talk of, can Antony drop deep? Can other wide players drop into deeper roles where, yes, they'll get chances to go forward, create overloads, but also then defend as well? And I think that's going to be the interesting bit because it's a huge change from what they had under Erik ten Hag. And for Amorim, he came in, he had a delay with the visa, getting everything in to start work here. And then comes in and half of his team are off on international duty. But he said that the best way to start off is by sticking to what you know. And the indication with that is that it will be a back three. Now, with the injuries, that means it's going to be a little bit kind of makeshift. It feels they haven't got Martinez there. He pulled out of international duty with a back injury. So it might be Johnny Evans, who played against Ruben Amorim, which is really funny. There's only 3 years between them. He might be starting at centre-back, which would be a good opportunity for someone like Amari if he starts, because Evans will be on the left side and for Liam Delap as well. Probably expect De Ligt and maybe Lenny Yoro. Oh my God, that's a tongue twister. To start, he's really struggled in terms of his match fitness since coming in. Midfield two of Casemiro and Ugarte. The three up front's quite interesting because it looks like it's going to be a wide three behind the striker. So Fernandez, who's a natural number 10 coming out to the left. Amad Diallo maybe staying on the right. There's been talk of Marcus Rashford playing up front. That's been a while since that's happened. Interesting bits. The wing backs there, you've got Diallo and Mazraoui with the normal fullbacks who could do it. But again, talks of whether someone like Antony might be able to come in and do that role. You essentially don't want to take too much away from the kind of the players that you've got and what they're able to do in their normal roles. You don't want to change too much. But yeah, Garnacho is another one in that position potentially. There's a lot of question marks going over it. It is an attacking back three system, but it's just a lot of change to have to deal with over a two-week period coming into a game. We talked about Ipswich not being settled as a squad. they're now going to come in to face a squad and a team that are much less settled actually than they are, which is probably the first time that's going to have happened.
Ross, are you be taking the pictures? Is anyone you're particularly looking out for from Man United as a player that you're worried about or you want to see play? I mean, they, regardless of how they're doing and whatever was going on, they've still got some big name players. You know, they've got some really good players at Man United. They just don't seem to be able to get them playing together as a team. And that's been the issue since Fergie left pretty much. But any particular players you're looking forward to seeing?
Johnny Evans, of course.
Yeah. Johnny Evans. the obvious question, yeah.
Nah. Fair, like, he's had a great story arc, isn't he, Johnny Evans?
Yeah.
Like, from, he got released from Leicester and then he just randomly returned, I think, because there was like an injury crisis, you know, at Man United. And he just, yeah, he's now playing, he's there starting at a starter, which is crazy. Fair play to him. Even though I know Bruno Fernandes is sort of Marmite, I think, with football fans, just seeing him in the flesh will be interesting. I'm actually just quickly going through their squad. There is talent there, isn't there?
You know, so like
there is some good players.
Yeah.
Not even Garnacho. I think he's you know, he's still a young player and he's so talented as well. So yeah, I'm just looking through the team. Even you know the
Casemiro for me, and yeah. I know that might sound a bit weird as like just a defensive midfielder, but this is someone who, I don't have the stats to hand, but has won about a million Champions League titles and La Liga titles, one of the most decorated midfielders in recent football history. He's going to be playing at Portman Road. And, you know, at this point in the season, those kind of things have maybe had the shine taken off them because we've already seen Liverpool come here and Salah, and we've already seen a lot of big names play against Town. But I think it's easy to kind of forget, isn't it? When you say you've got guys who are playing in League One for Fleetwood, West Burns, or in that kind of level before, coming up against players who, when they were in the third tier, were winning Champions League titles. Mm. And it's not some sort of David versus Goliath cup match. This is a level playing field, which is what's really unique. It's what's unique about the Town story. We've said it before, but this is one of those occasions where you're really going to feel it and you're really going to see it.
Mm. Should we talk about the Town side then? AJ and Rossi, because there are questions around that, certainly. And the first one, AJ, I guess, is as a whole, this is the first time that McKenna's had to make this call in the Premier League, whether or not to change a winning side. So it's the first time they're coming off a win, clearly. They played very well at Spurs. And within that, there are questions around, you'd say, centre mid. Obviously, Phillips is back. Kiyusé played at Spurs. Jacob Greaves, does he come straight back into the side? Because Burgess has been doing well. Obviously, Burgess has been out on international duty, and there's also, you know, there's obviously been rumors going around about George Hurst potentially being injured. We'll find out more about those tomorrow, clearly. But you'd imagine Liam Delap would be the starter there. So, the first question is changing winning side, is that something you think should happen?
I mean, look, this is for starters, easy way out here. That's a question for Kieran McKenna, because I don't think he's not someone that will look at it and say, oh, I'm not going to change the team because they won last time out.
Mm.
Because he's someone that's so dedicated to focusing on specific aspects of the game. I always go back to the Hull example when, funnily enough, he played George Edmondson to counter Liam Delap, of all people, and it worked a treat. And he dropped Cameron Burgess, I think, from that team. That was a huge shock, like, in that kind of mental aspect of thinking of the pecking order of a centre-back. That's a drop down, you'd say, and it worked absolutely incredibly well. So I think that's one way to look at it. And then from there, yeah, I think that the defence is probably the interesting one, isn't it? If Jacob Greaves is fit, we don't know at this point. And I'd be a little bit reluctant given that, when did he pull up? Was it the West Ham game last month?
West Ham, wasn't it?
Yeah, West Ham. So it's been quite a long time since he's been out of action and match fitness. I know that Town played friendly during the international break on Tuesday, I think it was said they played. That was what was said at the fans forum. So maybe there'd been an opportunity for minutes there, but getting thrown in straight off the bat might be quite difficult there. But then you've also had Cameron Burgess, who's travelled halfway across the world. Hasn't affected him in previous breaks, though. So, that's a really tough one. And one to kind of look at both of them in terms of how they're doing with their fitness, things like that. I'd probably lean more towards Cameron Burgess, to be perfectly honest, just because he's had that good run. And with Greaves just coming back from the knock, what's been quite a serious knock, I wouldn't necessarily push to rush him back, because I think he's a fantastic footballer, and I don't want him to get injured again.
You got any thoughts on that one, Rossi? Assuming Greaves is fit, would you bring Greaves back in?
Oh, it's a hard one because obviously, yeah, Jake Greaves, he was so good, wasn't he? I know we weren't winning games and we lost a few games, but he was still fantastic. And to bring him in for this game, I think he would be up for it. Obviously, you know, who wouldn't be up for it?
But, yeah.
You know, you always worry about, oh, you don't want to rush people in straight away, but he seems like a lad who'll just, you know, he'll come back straight away like that. So, yeah, maybe start him instead of Cameron Burgess, which probably would be harsh on Cam, big Cam. But because of the, I know AJ just mentioned, it hasn't affected him going away, all the way to Australia. But, yeah, I think I'm going towards maybe starting Jacob Greaves. But I wouldn't be disappointed if Cam Burgess starts because he's been fantastic since he's come in. So, yeah, going to be interesting seeing that starting 11. And one thing I want to mention about the events, Axel Tuanzebe, what a game for him as well. Gets his fourth team.
More narrative there, yeah.
Yeah. obviously, it was great to see him back against Spurs because no one thought he was going to be back until, obviously, Axel in the morning said, yeah, just a little Instagram story of a graphic. Yeah, going to be playing. Thanks for... I bet the club weren't happy about that, maybe. But yeah, great to see him starting. He did run against Spurs with his no thumb. Well, he's still got a thumb.
But he does still have a thumb, yeah.
He does. But yeah, I'm sure he's going to be well up for this one. And, you know, talking to the Twitch's boys, say, oh, I've got to get one over my old team. So yeah.
Class is turns every. What about the class in midfield, AJ? It's probably the biggest talking point in terms of selection. You've got Calvin Phillips coming back in, potentially. Mm-hmm. After serving his suspension, you've got the world's coolest man, Jens Kajusta, who did very well at Spurs. And obviously, you've got Sam Morsey, you'd imagine, is going to play regardless. Have you got any thoughts on it? In fact, I know you've got thoughts on it because you've written a piece all around it. So that's going to, I think, hit the virtual streets at 6 a.m. tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But give us your thoughts in this forum on that one. Yeah. That's a big call.
We are really writing off Massimo Luongo and Jack Taylor here. That was shocking behaviour from you. Both of those are options, albeit I'd say probably more likely to be coming off the bench. Does look like it's a case of three players going into two spots. So let's see what that's going to be. Let's be perfectly honest here. He's not going to drop Sam Morsey unless there's anything that's happened. Sam Morsey will be starting this game of football. I think he'll be loving this. This will be such a great game for him. It's just about who goes with him. And then Jens Kajusta, I thought, was excellent up until probably Spurs' goal in the Spurs game. I think while Town were able to control the game the way they wanted to, he was a huge part of that, getting it ticking along. He's just so smooth. We talk about Vasclav smooth, but Jens Kajusta is that smooth, silky player, isn't he? On the ball, you just love it. And was doing the off-the-ball work as well. For me, I mean, bit of a spoiler alert, to be honest, but I'd lean more towards Calvin Phillips. A few reasons for that. I think that mentally it will play a big part to have Calvin back into the team because I think he's come in with the promise of being, it's going to be you and Sam Morsey, that's the way I want to play this. And if he's now being out the team, how does that kind of act as a blow? It will be a huge game for him against Manchester United. I think there'll be some quite unfriendly chance given he's a Manchester City loanee. But I think he'll be up for it. I think he's the kind of guy, and you can sense it from the conversation he's had with Stu, that he wants those kind of games to play in and he'll take on the adversity. Yes, he's had his struggles, but he's ready to take his chance and play in these kind of games and prove people wrong that will chant and call him fat or whatever. He's really ready to take that on. And I think his performances have improved over a number of weeks as well. I'll be honest, when he first came in, we were thinking, ooh, a bit rusty here. And he's continued to get better and better and better with a couple of setbacks. And I think Kieran McKenna will want to build on that. And this is a good opportunity to do it.
Yeah, I thought one of the lines in the Phillips stuff that Stu did, I thought was really interesting was, hopefully Stu won't mind me saying this, but Stu said that he was quite surprised at how softly spoken Calvin was. And there was a line in there, I think, where he said that McKenna has essentially told him that you need to be a leader for us. You know, you've got the experience, you've done this, that and the other. We need you to be a leader and kind of step up into that role. So interesting to see how Calvin adapts to that going forward. Liam Delap, AJ, who is fast becoming a bit of a national phenomenon. I've seen a lot of national media picking up on him and calling him a battering ram and, you know, the kind of sleeper striker, if you like, in the Premier League this season. Do you think he'll be licking his lips looking at that potentially makeshift back line for Man United?
Yeah, I think he will. Move on. Yeah, I think he will. I think this is right up his street. I think that you're looking at a good battle against, I'm kind of basing it off what I think the back line will be here, so I could be wrong, a good battle against Matthijs de Ligt, who consistently over a number of years has been one of the best young centre-backs in the world and is really big and well-built. And either side of him, I think, is where you can see the gaps. And I don't think de Ligt's going to have the support because Evans is getting on. And on the other side, you've got Yoro, who's really young. As I don't think he's played in the Premier League. I think his injury came in pre-season. And he's going to be coming back from what's quite a nasty injury. So there's a chance to really get at them. I think there's a chance to just get into all the areas that he gets into. That sounds really stupid, but he comes deep and he does the hard work and he's able to break up play and he's able to create chances as well as score them. The Villa game is one that stands out for that. I think that it's going to be difficult to kind of plan and prepare for what you're going to see from this Man United team. But also, I do just wonder how much kind of preparation Man United have been able to do on Ipswich. And that might sound a bit kind of naive. This is one of the biggest clubs in the world. Of course, they're going to be looking at Ipswich's games and preparing and looking at ways they can hurt Ipswich and how Town might hurt Man United. But they've got so much going on and so much to balance with, and they're going to have to focus on themselves. And I think if you're not fully prepared for how to deal with the threat of Liam Delap, as I think the only club that I've seen do it, funnily enough, is Southampton, he will hurt you. And I just really think he's going to be looking forward to this.
He will literally hurt you. One-man army, Liam Delap. What about the three behind him, Rossi? Because obviously we assume that Amari's going to play if he's fit. It sounds like he should be. Sammy Smodics, you can't really drop him at the moment. And then you had Ben Johnson at Spurs. Is there any changes you'd like to see there?
Ooh, I think Sammy Smodics is undroppable at the moment. I think he's, you know, doing really well. Another goal, obviously, for him. So he's a guaranteed start. He's probably the first name on that sort of team sheet with alongside Liam Delap, Sam Morsey, and a few others, obviously. If Amari's fit, ready to go, yeah, obviously start him. And then, yeah, on the right, Ben Johnson's probably the only off, you know, player available because obviously Wes Burns is, sounds like he's not fit because he obviously pulled out of the Wales squad. Obviously, we'll find out more from McKenna. Maybe give Ben Johnson a go. I thought he did okay against Spurs. Obviously, he got a lot of flack from previous performances, but he's sort of shown, actually, I'm not too bad at this football-like.
I mean, I suppose you could put Amari out wide, couldn't you?
Bring Chaplin
into the centre. He was probably unlucky to be dropped at Spurs.
Do you know what? Scrap that. Sorry, Ben Johnson. Maybe at home, it's a bit different.
Yeah.
So maybe, Amari right, Chaplin middle, Smodics on the left. But then you've got Jack Clark as well. You know, so many options. AJ, you take over.
I want to counter this quickly. Not really counter, but I want to say if Man United are going to play back five and that's what you think is going to be, I think you want to have Ben Johnson there so you can match them up. Because, there's lots of talk about what was the Ipswich formation at Tottenham. Seems to say it was a 4-4-2, a 4-2-3-1. It changes because it changes all the time. And at times it was a back five because it had to be because they weren't going to have a lot of time on the ball. And I think the back five system is predominantly going to be used away from home because that's where they're going to have those kind of matches the most. But if Man United are going to line up in this way, I think matching them is honestly probably the best way to play it. I think if you look at the three, I know it's not really the three, but the three players behind the striker, and we'll count Johnson in that, I'd say the most likely one in my head that I'd drop, funnily enough, would probably be Sammy Smodics. It would be really harsh. It wouldn't be performance-based. It would just be based on having a natural left-sided ball-carrying player who can get into those little spots where the Man United wing-backs are going to push forward. It would just be based on kind of...
Sammy in middle, though.
You could do that, for example, which would be interesting. Then you're then going away from the back five system because you're moving Amari out to the right and you're dropping Ben Johnson. So there's a lot of kind of mental gymnastics that comes into this, isn't it? Where you're trying to figure out who goes where. And
you're talking about Jack Clark there on the left. You say someone to come in for Smodics on the left. No, you didn't say.
I thought I said Jack Taylor by accident, which I've done quite a few times. Yeah, Jack Clark, which... I think he's had quite a few tough games off the bench. I don't think that he suits coming off the bench, let's say. I really don't think that's how he works. And his best performance came in the Villa game where he started and he was really, really good. And it'd be really hard to drop Sammy Smodics. I'm just thinking in terms of this is an individual game, similar to maybe the George Edmondson example last year. Does it suit better to have a natural ball-carrying, dribbly boy on the left to kind of get into the pockets of space where, especially if it's Anthony who's playing right wing-back, for example, that there's going to be loads of space to run into those gaps and have a go at the back line. So it's different to Smodics. Again, I think this is going to be a team that's picked on very much the individual battles, but it's hard to do that because we just have no idea what Man United are going to do. It could be a natural right back. It could be Mazraoui in that position. And then you might want Smodics there to come in a little bit more narrow and create overloads through there. It's really hard to try and predict. And it will be a lineup, I think, based on how they're predicting Man United to line up at Portman Road.
Speaking of predictions, boys, we've come to that difficult juncture, I think, unless there's anything else you want to mention around the game. But predictions. I'm going to start with Alex because he's leading the way. I know where I'm going with this one. I've known since before the season kicks off and I'm going to stick with it.
But, yeah, I remember what yours was.
What are you going to go? What are you going to say?
Blinds there. I need some blinds up. I'm going to go with a draw. I think.
Whoa, boo!
A hard fought open 2-2 draw. It will be one of the more entertaining games of the Premier League season, which is going some because there have been a lot of fun, open, chaotic Premier League games like the Brentford defeat and like Wolves v Chelsea and stuff like that. I think it'll be open. I think it'll be really exciting. And yeah, I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw in front of what is going to be such a hostile, fun atmosphere at Portman Road.
Did you predict the first score there?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Amari?
Do I stick with it again? I want my points, so I'm going to have to go Liam Delap, unfortunately.
Liam Delap. Rossi. I think the league at the moment is basically AJ like up here, and then me, you and Stuart sort of down here.
Yeah.
In terms of predictions, it's like a two-tier league. So what are you going to predict?
Yeah, it's quite a look. Oh, yeah, it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. Yeah, I'm not even going to repeat what it says at the moment. People can see that on social media when we put the graphic out. Yeah. As I said, I'm maybe feeling too confident, but I just feel like there's just something about this game. I think Town, as you said in the pre-season, you felt like, anyway, that was your hot take. But I just think, yeah, could all align. Stars could all align for Town to get a win live on Sky. It's not going to be an easy game. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Town win. So I'm backing the boys, you know. After the Spurs game, I thought, you know what? This team can do things. Liam Delap score first. I'm just backing him. He's my boy. And you know what? A late winner in this game.
Oh yes. If that comes to pass, that'd be amazing. Axel turns Ebby from a corner. Yeah. Imagine that. That would be brilliant. Well, so you're saying 2-1 Liam Delap. I've said since the start of the season, my hot take obviously was that I thought they would beat Man United this season. And I still feel that way going into this game. You know, obviously all the narrative around it, the fact they've got a new boss in, he's not had a lot of time to work with these new players. How well prepared can they really be coming into this game? A lot of pressure on them, clearly, because they're Man United. Eyes of the footballing world on Suffolk. Kieran McKenna will be so fired up to win this game, as will his players. And they'll be playing with an extra level of confidence as well coming off that win at Spurs. So I think Town are going to win this game. I've said it since the start of the season. My only issue is what the score is going to be. And I think a couple of weeks ago, I pined a 1-0. I thought it might be one of those games where Man United just can't score and Town get one and cling on to it. Then I was thinking 2-1, but Ross has just stolen that. So do I think what's more likely, 1-0 or 3-2 or 3-1 or 2-0? There are loads of different scores, literally. I think I'm going to go... What am I going to go with?
I can see where you're going. I can see where this is going.
Can you? You
think? I think so.
I think I'm going to go 3-2.
Yeah, got it right.
Yeah, because I, the more I think about it, I think Man United probably will score, although they've not been great at scoring goals this season. And can I see Town winning 1-0? probably not as much as I think they might be able to win 3-2. So I'll go 3-2 in another kind of back and forth, pulsating, thrilling game. But Town just get the edge, get the win. And that would be a famous win. I mean, this is a game, if this comes to pass, a game we'll still be talking about, you know, years down the line, in the way we're still talking about the draw with Man United from 2000 and Fabian Wilnes's goal. So I'm going to say 3-2. You've both said Liam Delap. Do I think anyone else is going to score realistically? No, I'm going to say Liam Delap again. I think he'll be looking at that back line, licking his chops. And as Alex says, literally going to do some damage in this game. So I'll say 3-2. And we'll find out what Stu says. Obviously, we'll share that as well. So we've got 3-2 Liam Delap from me. We've got 2-1 Liam Delap from Rossi. And we've got, what did you say, 1-1, Alex? 2-2, sorry.
2-2 was mine.
2-2 Liam Delap. Okay. Very, very interesting. I think we can all agree, though, this is one of those games of football that, you know, it's so exciting to think of, you know, what that's going to be like. And unfortunately, friends, I'll have no idea because I'm on holiday. I'm going to be in the middle of nowhere in the Peak District on Sunday, probably with no phone signal. So I'll have no idea as to what's going on until I get back to our little cottage and finally get back on the old Wi-Fi. So
what? Ipswich have won 6-0?
Imagine that. Yeah, they've absolutely... Well,
the one that's what I had, the last time I wasn't able to follow an Ipswich game was when I had the weekend off and went to watch Hamilton. And obviously, you can't be on your phone during Hamilton.
No.
And then I turned it on and it was Ipswich 6, Sheffield Wednesday 0.
Well, I'll take that. I mean, I can't see it, but I'll take it.
I'd want a couple more, personally. Yeah. That was a really weird experience having that.
Through the Ipswich 9.
Well, let's not get carried away. Right, friends. So that's the predictions. There's something else I want to finish with, though, friends, because we had a really good question as part of Mailbag last week, which I totally forgot to ask. So I thought it'd be a nice way to finish the show today. And it came from Robert Enderby via the old tweeters, which we'll talk about social media in a minute. It says, "Good morning, Kings, from beautiful Denmark," or as Rossi calls it, good old Denmark, the home of more than 400 islands. He says, "If you were to appear on Desert Island Discs, what song would you pick as your favourite? And which book and luxury item would you choose to have with you?" So I'm going to start with you, Rossi, because you're the music man. What song would you pick then? And then what book and luxury item would you choose to have? Would you, I mean, Rossi, I think we've said before, you're not a big reader. So if there isn't a book you want to take, I will allow you something else to take in lieu of a book. So what three items would you take?
The song one is difficult. There's so much good music out there. Maybe not modern day. Obviously, there's some decent, still, you know, some decent artists out there. But yeah, it's difficult. You want something you know, you feel like you won't get bored of. Mm. Something you can sort of dance to as well and sing along to. So go back to that, but go to a book.
Yeah.
I've got two alternatives. I've got obviously the main one.
Oh, of course, there we go. Yeah, absolutely.
Mission Impossible, the story of it just sounds remarkable.
The gift that keeps on giving, Ross, you'd say with that, wouldn't you? So much to discover in there.
You can, and obviously a lot of my pictures I can look back, oh,
yeah.
This desert island, oh, that's a nice little picture of George Hearn scoring. but the other alternative is good old Where's Wally book. You know, the ultimate, just keep you entertained, try to
keep
find
you mentally Where's stimulated. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
pretty much. So yeah, that has to be the ultimate. It has to be like loads. Can't be like one of those smaller ones. It has to be a really like massive one. So that's that. Song, keep it funny. Why not? Bit of Akon, smack that. That's
too. You sat on a desert island listening to Akon, looking at Where's Wally. I love that.
Yeah.
What luxury item would you have?
You want something that is practical. So if I, you know, once again, there's two options here. One option is maybe a lighter or something to lit a fire if I'm struggling to do the
important.
Or just a sleeping bag. Keep yourself, you know, comfy, you know, when you're sleeping, you can hide yourself in there, you know, get away from any predators maybe. Although they could just attack the sleeping bag and just rip it apart and your package basically. But yeah, I think a sleeping bag will be practical in terms of keeping cozy. So,
we've got your song would be Smack That by Akon. Your book would either be Mission Impossible or Where's Wally, a big one. And your luxury item would be hopefully an animal-proof sleeping bag. Yeah. AJ, I reckon you're probably going to go in a different direction with this. If you say Akon and Where's Wally, I'll be surprised. What would your three things be?
Slightly different route. The song one's really difficult, isn't it? And I've just been trying to think. My favourite band is Gorillaz, but trying to pick out a specific song from that's really difficult. I was thinking you want something to dance to. It's good fun, Ross said. And I thought ABBA, and I was like, oh, but after like a few hours of that, I'd just blow my brains out.
Just walk into the sea.
Yes, exactly. Rocks in your pockets.
Yeah.
That'll be it. So I landed on Champagne Supernova. Has kind of some quite relaxing, calming beach vibes. You can imagine just having that going on in the background. It's not too heavy. It's quite nice, isn't it?
It's quite long as well, I seem to remember.
Yeah, exactly.
So fills a bit of time, yeah.
That will work quite well. Books-wise, again, not probably somewhere in between, just above the Ross levels of reading. Not necessarily my favourite pastime, and I'm going to go down a football route. I'm so sorry.
Of course you are.
I'm so sorry. There were two that came to mind. One was and they're both, I have a lot of like stats, data-y nerd books, but that's not really what you want on a desert island. So two that I thought of, one was Johan Cruyff's autobiography, My Turn, really like that. And Arrigo Sacchi's one about his legendary AC Milan team. Love both of those. And then luxury items, really difficult. And now I took luxury in a different sense. And I realized there'll be a problem with it where I was like, if I go onto a desert island, I'm not going to have electricity. So I can't run like an air fryer or something like that. That'll be a bit problematic.
Yeah.
Getting in there thinking, oh crap, what the hell do I do?
Just sat there like an ornament. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll probably go down. It's not really as luxury, but the lighter route probably. Let's have something to cook with, something you could turn into a weapon. You could light a stick and beat away people or animals or whatever. Yeah, that's the way I play it. A lighter. It's not very luxury, but maybe my phone would be a good one because then I can call for help and get the hell out of there. That would be a nice one as well.
Yeah.
Can't charge it though. Yeah. Come what?
Can't charge it though. What if you only have like 10% battery, like you're trying to ring and no one's
answering? I take my phone at the moment. Yeah, that's 88%. So hopefully, my only concern is you get out to a desert island and there's no signal. Yeah, exactly. It'll be like going to Stoke, so it'll be slightly problematic. I'll stick with the lighter then. Why not?
Okay, Rossi.
I've just remembered as well on SmackDown, Eminem features as well. So I've got two pens there.
Two giants of music that you keep you going. what would I do? I would have my favourite song is Heard It Through Grapevine by Marvin Gaye. I don't think I'll ever get bored of that. I love the intro to that. So I'd probably have that. Quite a sinister song, actually, if you listen to the lyrics, but there we go. I will have that. In terms of book, book that I can read again and again, I love The Old Man and the Sea by Ernest Hemingway. It's quite a thin book. But it's a brilliantly written book about essentially an old man versus a fish at sea.
You really can tell you smoke cigars and sit.
Yeah, it's just
reading it.
That's the COVID jab. Excuse me. So I'll probably take that, or I might take Brian Clough book, Provided You Don't Kiss Me, just because I love Brian Clough and that's a really good book. And then in terms of luxury item, I went down the same kind of path as you boys. Going to need fire. So that, a lighter or a flint of some sort would be useful. But then I thought, I'll just have a fully functioning house with running water and electricity. That's a luxury item. It's a single item. So I'll just have a house on my desert island I'll be able to charge my phone and everything in there. So there we go. It'd be a nice, in fact, I quite like that. A little house on a desert island somewhere. Would never have to interact with people again. Got my little book, got my little song. I'd be quite happy with that because I am antisocial, friends. That would be a bit of me. So we've got from the sublime to the ridiculous there. I've got a house. Ross has got an animal-proof sleeping bag. AJ's got a lighter. And we've got Marvin Gaye. What was your one? Champagne Supernova, Oasis, Akon and featuring Eminem as the songs. And then book-wise, we've got Where's Wally. What was yours? The Arrigo Sacchi and...
Yeah, Johan Cruyff.
And I've got either the Brian Clough, it's not a biography, really. It's the guy who covered him while he was at Nottingham Forest, the local reporter for the Nottingham Evening Post, Provided You Don't Kiss Me, which is a brilliant book if you've never read that, or Old Man and the Sea, again, if you've not.
None of us have said Stu's book. I feel like one of us should bring that.
Well, I mean, I'm assuming if Stu was here, he would say that book. And it would be a good option, clearly. But yeah, I'd probably pick others. Yeah, Mission Impossible, exactly.
Mission Impossible.
Right, friends, anything else to mention before we take our leave? I'm very excited, even though I'm not going to be there, about this game. I'm very excited about the build-up to it. I just like thinking about it. Ipswich Town, Man United, live on Sky Sports, absolutely sold out Portland Road. What an occasion it's going to be. Anything else to mention, friends, before I do this shambolic outro?
Press conference tomorrow. Come follow us in the afternoon. We're going to be talking to Kieran McKenna about injuries and Manchester United and football. And then I'll talk to Sam Morsey, who's been put up for press.
Oh, Morsey again, is it?
From him. Yeah. I was thinking, who's it going to be? And I was going through the team, and I've been saying for weeks it'll be Sam Morsey and Adafi. And I was like, it's a big game. They're going to bring out Sam Morsey. It makes sense. So he can say they're feeling ice cool and calm, and he'll then go out and two-foot someone and break some legs. So, yeah, you'll be able to hear from him at some point over the weekend as well when we get that out. So keep an eye out for that. The biggest, probably definitely, I say the busiest press conference we'll have this season, quite a few before the Liverpool game, but interested to see as well how this is done media wise. Is it going to be even on a bigger scale than the Liverpool game, which was huge, was a packed out press box? Is it going to be bigger than that? Probably, I'd say.
Well, I mean, I know from already we've had people declined who would otherwise be at the game, so I reckon that press.
Sorry, Rossi.
Yeah, I reckon that press gantry is going to be busier than it probably has been yet, because it's not been that busy, has it, since the Liverpool game? I think I heard a stat, it went from 300 media to 60 for the next game after that.
There's a lot of space. They built it really well. There's a lot of space to go for these kind of, I don't want to say smaller games. It's not quite right for a Premier League football match, but when the likes of Fulham and Everton and Leicester come to town, it's... there's a lot of space to spread out and choose where you want to go. And damn it, so you're going to be sitting in your allocated seat on Sunday, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Rossi, you're putting something together about the last Ipswich Town side to play Man United, which took me down memory lane, because obviously that was when they went to Old Trafford in what was it, the Carling Cup, was it back then? And that was that famous night where it was very exciting. A lot of Town fans went up, and I was working that night to obviously put things together for print, and the starting 11 came out, and it was like, what? Because it was basically a third team that Big Mick put out against a pretty strong Man United side. I had Rooney and various other big names in it. And you were one of those in the away end, Rossi.
Yeah, that was my first ever trip to Old Trafford. So when I saw the team, speaking to my mate, I went, let's see who's starting. And we see Josh Allworth, Peter Malarchek, Tommy Orr made his debut.
Didn't Giles Coke start in midfield?
Yeah,
he did. Yeah. Incredible.
Which is crazy to think. You know, I know Luke Chambers, you know, never got the opportunity to play at Old Trafford.
Yeah, Cole Skuse as well. Obviously. Yeah,
Cole Skuse. Darren Murphy and Dan McGorder did start that game. But we did okay for a while. And then, yeah, Rooney scored a goal. Someone else scored a free kick, and then someone else scored again as well. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing where some of these players are now, because I think there's a few obviously have retired, there's a few still playing and stuff like that. But yeah, it's going to be interesting going down memory lane with that one. But the first time I played Man United in a competitive fixture since that 2015. But obviously, you know, I was actually there for the Fabian Wilnis goal in the 1-1 draw at Portland Road. I was really young, but I was there, and that was a great day. Can't remember it, because as I said, I was five, so don't remember what happened. But yeah.
Let's hope we get some, because that picture of Wilnis doing the knee slide after that goal was like an iconic Ipswich Town picture, isn't it, Ross? So let's hope you get your own little slice of Ipswich Town iconic history on Sunday. Just a reminder, friends, before we go, KOA 500 is coming up, which I think will be in a couple of weeks' time, the first week of December. We had a lot of correspondence around that. If you want to send in your thoughts, anything you want to say about KOA, how long you've been listening to, where you listen from, your favourite moments. I've had a lot of people, Ross. I assume the favourite moment would be Stu almost burning down his house, but that's now being challenged by a late surge from Ross's brilliant bath review. I didn't have a bath in Bath. A lot of people are saying that has to be included. So if you want to add to that clamour for the bath review, or any other moments you want to get in, we'll try and feature these on KOA 500, mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk for your emails there. And also, if you want to sponsor the show, We've severed ties with Manscaped after 3.5 years. So we're looking for a new partner to take the show forward. Premier League podcast, if you want to get involved with that, again, email me, mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk. And also, friends, follow us across social media, Kings of Anglia, on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, X, TikTok. And we've also, friends, personally, the three of us here, moved on to another social media platform this week, Blue Sky, which obviously is fast picking up numbers as Elon drives Twitter into a big wall. A lot of people jumping off onto Blue Sky. Now, we're not going to go anywhere. We're still going to be posting on Twitter, but equally, we're going to post on Blue Sky as well. And what was the response you got, AJ? Have you got the response there when you shared news of you moving, not saying you were leaving Twitter, but just posting on Blue Sky as well?
Yeah, this is obviously quite a controversial subject for a lot of people. The one reply that I loved was pathetic, another media darling joining the flouncing Guardian readership, which I, to be perfectly honest, took as a compliment more than anything. I thought, you know what, being called a media darling and flouncing Guardian readership, I thought, you know what, fair enough, I'll take that.
We need to get as a t-shirt for you, I think, flouncing media darling, with a little KOA badge on it.
Yeah, exactly. Can we get that in the merch store? That would probably sell. Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Nice. That's it.
So the three of us are on Blue Sky. If you're on there, it's been quite nice actually, because a lot of the people that I haven't seen on Twitter for quite a while are now re-emerging on Blue Sky. And I'm like, oh, that's where you've been. So it's nice to reconnect with old friends. The big clamour, of course, is to get the big dog Watson on there. But I know, knowing Stu as I do, he hates, or at least he claims he hates social media. So I think it'll be a little while before he moves over to Blue Sky as well, if indeed he ever does. But we're certainly all three of us on there. So if you're on there, go and follow us. And then the other thing, of course, to mention is leave us a 5-star review on iTunes if you can. Just helps lift us visibility-wise in the charts, helps more people find us and jump on board, hopefully, around what's going to be a famous win for Ipswich Town. I'm not going to be around, as I've already mentioned. I won't be there. I will be in the Peak District on Sunday, and I'll be in the Peak District all of next week. So the boys will be back at some point next week to break down the Man United game and then build up to the Nottingham Forest game while I'm on my holly bobs. Anything else to mention, friends?
Just want to mention some KOA pod specials that I've done during the international break. Thomas Garto from good old Denmark, a really good chat with him. And also Paul Mason, who scored in a famous Town win back in the 90s, scoring twice actually in that 3-2 win against Sir Alex Ferguson's side back in the Premier League. That was also that season when we lost 9-0 at Old Trafford as well. So, but Paul Mason wasn't part of that team. He was thankfully on the bench and didn't need to come on. So he was like, thanks, George. Thanks for bringing me on. But yeah, two really good chats with former Town players who played in the Premier League for Town. And yeah, check them out. And also, Loan Insight with a Wickham Wanderers reporter to get some insight on Cameron Humphrey's loan spell, which he's doing very well with the chair boys.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
They're calling him. So check that out. That's available for subscribers.
The other thing worth mentioning, friends, is given that Town have just got in the win column and Christmas is coming, we've launched our best ever, and it is a best ever deal on digital subscriptions, which means that right now you can get the traditional £6 for 6 months, or you can get everything that we do from now until the end of 2025, so 14 months, 13 and a half months, for just £25, which I would say is pretty good value. Hopefully a lot of you agree. And if you want to take advantage of that, that's out there now. You can find the links on our website, and we've all shared them on social media as well. A really good opportunity to jump on board and cover whatever happens with Ipswich Town next year, all the way until the end of 2025. And hopefully, of course, they'll be in the Premier League for a second season by the end of that 2025. And we can all get very excited about it. Right then, friends, we're on the verge of a titanic, exciting, absorbing, compelling game of football. The world's eyes will be on Portman Road on Sunday. The boys are going to be there. Hopefully, if you're going to be there, say hello to them. If you can't be there, follow it all with us. Whatever happens, though, friends, this is why we do this. Manchester United coming to Portman Road. What a game of football. So whatever happens, let's enjoy it. Have a great weekend, friends. And the boys will be back next week to break it all down.